Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's me, Dov, back again for another mid-season review podcast thing. This time, as you probably have read or seen already, I'm joined by Mr. Adam Digby, and we are going to discuss all things Juventus. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, not too bad. Looking forward to the season starting again. I quite like this break because it's nicely placed in the middle of the season. None of this two games before midway point. We've got it nice in the middle so we can have a good look at half of the season completely.
Yeah, it makes a nice change, doesn't it? Before we've had 17 games, so you do a how's everything looking at the winter break and then how's everything looking at the midway point of the season? It's daft, but yeah, they've timed it nice.
Yeah, so we've got it. To be fair, it wouldn't have really mattered when they did the break this year for Juve because you win all the games anyway. You've only dropped 4 points all season. Draws against Genoa and Atalanta are the only time that you haven't won. So I just want to know what your thoughts have been on the performances because I think, like I said to you before we started, it's difficult to find different ways to say Juventus are amazing again and again.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think they've been particularly good. They're just kind of coasting along, aren't they?
That's what Allegri says.
Yeah, and that, to be honest, that seems to be what Allegri wants, doesn't it? This is year five now, and it's just much of the same, isn't it? You coast through the early part of the season, get into the knockout stages of Champions League, get a healthy lead in the league table, and then move on from there. And I think the only real change in that has been the addition of Ronaldo, who gives him a little bit more impetus in attack. But otherwise, it's just been the same. Get a couple of goals up in the first half, take it easy in the second half. And one of those games where the Juve dropped points against Genoa was only because their entire defence thought the ball had gone out for a corner that allowed Genoa to score. Otherwise, there's only Atalanta who've got a result.
Well, there's a wee tidbit of insider information that you told me about. That was the fact that they've got the grates underneath on the edge of the goal line, and the ball bounced on one of those edges to come back in because it was pretty much going out.
Yeah, there's a drain that runs underneath the pitch at both ends, and you can see when the ball hits it, you can tell it's not grass that it's hit; it hits something else, and it just flies straight up in the air, and everybody started defending and preparing for the corner that wasn't a corner, and then Genoa's defenders allowed to run straight in and make a good cross. So, yeah, but in the league, I think it's been very... To be honest, that Genoa game was probably one of the best first halves that Juve played all season, but it's been much of muchness, really. Just
So even you're like, what the hell was supposed
it is,
to say?
I mean, the goals, you've seen some great ones from Ronaldo. You've seen Mario Mandzukic in every big game that you've ever played manage to get to the back post on a fullback and score a header. There's a great picture collage of him crushing Kolarov, Asamoah, Mario Rui. Who else did he score against? Milan, I think it was Abate or maybe Calabria. And it's the same every time. He just runs to the back post, gets on the fullback, bang, header. and I think it's the same as it's been the last few seasons. Juve have got everything except that one driving force in midfield. And because of that, the games tend to just peter out and become very attritional.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. It's been, I won't say it's been difficult to watch Juve this season, but it's been, sometimes it's a bit of a slog to watch them, because you're just like, you know, as soon as they go ahead, that's it. Pretty much game over.
It very much is a case of first world problems, isn't it? Complaining about going to watch Juve for free and seeing it's being a bit boring.
But, hey, hold on, we work hard, mate. What are you talking about?
Hard work. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's obviously it's a privilege to be able to watch it, but the games are pretty dull. But then there's been some good performances in Champions League, so that's what ultimately the season, the club, Allegri, Ronaldo, everybody is going to be judged on, isn't it? So they've raised the performances there, and they were really unlucky to blow the game against Man United. Otherwise, we'd be talking about a perfect start there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted, like, we'll touch on the Champions League a bit later. I want to say that probably Juventus' best performance in Serie A this season was the home game against Napoli, where you went behind after, was it about 10 minutes, Mertens. And then it was almost as if Napoli said, right, how good are you? And then Juventus just stood up, Mandzukic in particular, said, we're pretty good, thank you very much. Get back in your box.
Mandzukic scored the goals, but I think the difference in that game was Ronaldo, wasn't it? He had two assists, and then the third goal came from his shot got saved and Mandzukic tapped it in, which is an assist in itself, really, isn't it? And ultimately, that just underlines the difference between this season and last season. This season, Napoli were pretty good, but Juve were just about good enough to win the league. This year, just like last year, Napoli came to Turin, went 1-0 up, but this time you've had Ronaldo, who just decided, no, not today, thanks, and laid on three goals, and then it's 3-1 instead of 1-0. So, yeah, that was a really good performance, to be honest, apart from going 1-0 down. Mm-hmm. But as a lot of Juve's performances this season, it's Leonardo Bonucci seems determined to give everybody a 1-0 head start.
well, kind of, before we get on, well, actually, well, now we'll talk about the kind of individual players. You spoke about Bonucci there, and I think you said at the start of the season he was the problem for all the goals that Juve had conceded. Like, it was essentially mistakes from him. But obviously the big one is Mr. Ronaldo. How have you kind of viewed his impact, obviously on the pitch, like you mentioned against Napoli, but kind of also off it as well?
On it, I think he pushes them to not kind of give up at 1-0, which we saw a lot of last season. It doesn't quite do enough to prevent the games from being boring, but it does see it become 3-0 or 3-1 instead of just 2-0. I definitely think he's raised the level of some performances, like Mandzukic, who's already got more goals this season than last season. Off the pitch, obviously, it's been huge, hasn't it? All the away games are not only sold out, but the tickets are two and three times more than they were last season, and almost double what each club is charging other big clubs. I know that away at San Siro was €70 for Juve fans, and Roma away at San Siro is €40, and that's been indicative of everywhere. At Empoli this season, it was €70 with no concessions for kids or pensioners, and that was home fans and away fans who didn't have tickets. So everybody's getting their money's worth out of the deal for sure, and obviously Juve Juve's profile it's exponentially raised by having Ronaldo, isn't it? Every social media post gets a massive audience. The Juve had the best-selling shirt in France in 2018, which is ridiculous. although PSG's kits are ugly either, so. And it's just little things like that, isn't it? I mean, we were talking earlier in the week about how your own website is taking on even more traffic thanks to Ronaldo. You say about 15% month to month.
Yeah,
and there's a lot more eyes on the league, which is fantastic. And that can only be a good thing for the rest of Serie A. I think ultimately, the two things you're looking for out of this are Juve to succeed in the Champions League this season, and then the rest of Serie A to kind of raise its game to catch up to a team that was already better than them, but then added one of the two best players in the world. And that can only be a good thing for Serie A as well if the standard by which they're all judged is even higher.
Yeah, I can't remember who said this quote, but I think in the last week somebody had said that, I think it was in relation to Aaron Ramsey more or less coming to Juve, that because Ronaldo's there, other players who maybe wouldn't consider coming to Serie A have, wait a minute, Ronaldo's there, why not go to Italy? It's a nice place. So you win trophies. So I think, like you say, the Ronaldo's impact is not just kind of having a positive effect on obviously Juve's global kind of audience, but also kind of Serie A's, with other players who maybe wouldn't have bothered coming, thinking, well, why not, if they can offer me similar wages to England, Spain or Germany or even France.
Yeah, that's definitely the case, isn't it? And I think it's very similar to what we saw with PSG. Once Zlatan went there, then other players were willing to go as well, who probably wouldn't have done otherwise. And that just shows how far Serie A had fallen before Ronaldo came, really. It is a league that had struggled to attract big-name players before Ronaldo, and him deciding that that's where he wanted to go has made a massive difference in that regard. And I think not only does it make a difference in players wanting to come to Serie A, I think it makes a difference in players not wanting to leave either.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Why would you want to leave Serie A? I never understand this, when players want to leave and go and play in other places. It's fantastic. Look at some other ones. A player who maybe some would not have expected, I certainly didn't expect, but Rodrigo Bentancur made it into the Forza Italian Football Team of the Season so far, picked by Vieri Capretta, and he's been impressive for Juve. And then what when I've seen you at games, the player I think has been fantastic for his Matuidi this season. I think he's brilliant. What's kind of your, you said that Juve are missing a midfielder, what's kind of your thoughts on Bentancur, Matuidi and Juve's midfield situation?
I think Bentancur has been exceptional this season. He's always impressive. He's immensely mature for his age. He's not afraid to get stuck in. He's another player who just fits in perfectly well. But my issue is that of the midfield, I really like Bentancur. I like Matuidi. I think Pjanic is fantastic. I think Emre Can was a good signing. But they're all a bit samey, not in terms of the style of play, but none of them are going to get the ball on the halfway line and drive into the opposition area. They're all either going to pass it to somebody close or make a long pass in the case of Pjanic, but there's no real speed in there, either in terms of the way that they play the ball forwards or themselves running with the ball. And I think ultimately that hurts Juve, because you end up with the back four and then three players in front of them and then a big gap to the front three. And I think that's kind of hurting Dybala, because he's having to drop deep and fill in that gap. And I think, as I've said countless times before, I think a player like Milinkovic-Savic or Pogba coming into that unit, and not particularly for being better than any of those three, but just being different and being able to pick the ball up on halfway and drive forwards or being able to make a run into the box to finish a chance, because none of those three really do that. You see Pjanic get forward now and then, but he's usually the deepest lying player. And I don't really think I think he's at his best in that role. I don't think he's really the kind of player who's going to make a difference if you do play him much further forward. I think it is a player that's missing, and I think it's a reason why João Cancelo's looked so good because he can do that, albeit from fullback. I think he's been superb in the first half of the season before he was injured.
He also got into the first Italian football team of the season so far.
Yeah, and deservedly so, because he really is a difference maker. He's a player who can bring the ball out of defence and turn it into attack without first having to give it to Ronaldo, which is, has kind of become the default setting. You either give it to Ronaldo, give it to Dybala, or look to hit Mandzukic long. And that's predictable when you're playing against the better teams. It's good enough in Serie A, and that's great. But to ultimately push on and do well in the Champions League, I think you need a little bit more. And that would seem to be the reason behind going for a player like Aaron Lennon, and then maybe looking to spend money on somebody else as well.
Well, obviously, once Semih Khedira comes back properly, then it'll all be sorted. So you shouldn't worry too much.
Well, I will have to change what I've been saying, because I've been saying that Juve midfield is one-paced, whether it's Matuidi, Chan and Bentancur, and Semih Khedira is just no pace.
It's different, if you want. Cancelo, like you say, Cancelo's been fantastic. And it kind of almost reminds you of like Dani Alves and the way that he owns the entire, whatever flank he's on, primarily the right side, but he just owns it the whole way up and the whole way down, and he gets up and down constantly. And I don't think he's the best defensively, but the fact that he can get up and down with ease almost, it really kind of negates the fact that he's maybe not the best defensively.
Yeah, and I think that kind of helps Decilio, doesn't it? Because he'll probably get a look, and if you play a team with a good winger, then you probably play Decilio on that side and then play Cancelo on the opposite flank, because as you say, he can do it on either side, and he's certainly more dangerous than Alexandro. Mm-hmm. I think it brings some balance to the team. I think he's been a lot better defensively in the October, November than he was in August and September, when he looked a little bit of a liability there. I think Chievo got a lot of joy going up against him in the first game of the season, didn't they? But he looked much sharper since then, so that can only be a good thing. And I think the comparison to Dani Alves is spot on, really. I think he's kind of the player that Juve thought they were getting when they signed Dani Alves.
And they just had to wait a couple of years. Last one I kind of wanted to mention, obviously.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
With Buffon leaving in the summer, that meant a new captain, and Chiellini took over the armband, and he has stepped up completely. He was already a brilliant defender, but I think this season you're getting a level of performance, I think, that's been better than what he's produced for, well, maybe even his whole career.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think there's a strong case to be made that Chiellini, as good as he has not been Juve's best defender for about the last three full seasons before this one. I think you definitely would say it was Benatti last season. I think it was Bonucci the year before that. And I think it was probably Bart Sally the year before that as well. But Chiellini he's just been superb this season. He really has stepped up to the captaincy, to leading that back line the way that he did before. And obviously taking on the responsibility of the fact that the goalkeeper behind them's not as sure as he once was. I think Chesney's been quite good, but he's not Buffon. And that's not really a criticism that you can level at anybody. Not being Gigi Buffon is a hard yardstick to judge anybody by. But we know, don't we, that there's going to be a drop-off in the quality of goalkeeping, whether it's Chesney or Perrin, because they're not Buffon. Mm. And I think Keeling has taken a lot of responsibility for that. And it really has made a difference. I think Allegri's managed him a little bit better. Rather than playing him all the time, he's given him a rest. And I think that's helped too. But there's definitely a desire on Chiellini's part to be the leader that he always looked like but never really was.
I've been mightily impressed. It's kind of one of those, is like, before you were like, oh, there's maybe like kind of lose concentration, or it was always kind of maybe a bit rash in a tackle. But this season it's almost been like you're getting complete solidity from him, and you're getting it consistently week in and week out. He's not making any mistakes, and he's, like you mentioned with Bonucci, it's Bonucci that's making the mistakes, and Chiellini's kind of the one maybe carrying him a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit clumsy, wasn't he? I think is probably the best way to describe it before this year. You were never sure if he was going to climb over the top of the defender and win the header fairly, or just literally climb over the top of the opposition player. We both saw him at Old Trafford earlier this year, and he was immense in that game. He really was. United absolutely laid siege to Juve, and Chiellini just wasn't having it. It was impossible to get past him, whether it was a winger, whether it was a striker, anything. There was just nothing going past him. And the way he celebrates blocking shots or making tackles, like Ronaldo celebrates scoring a goal, it's just brilliant to see, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. Now, you mentioned the Champions League there, right? So, obviously, we were at both games, weren't we? We were sat beside each other,
yep,
both of them, against United. So the first one was obviously Juve dominated for the most part. And then basically the same happened in the second one, but then United scored two very late goals and got a cheeky wee win. And then in the last game of the group, Juve also lost to Young Boys as well, which, if results had kind of gone differently, and I think the Valencia United game, Juve could have potentially finished second in that group, which I thought would have been a bit dangerous. How have you kind of looked at the way that they're approaching the Champions League matches in comparison to the Serie A ones, where it's been pretty straightforward?
I think the Champions League has been pretty straightforward, hasn't it? Those two games, they blew it against United, which would have been a great chance to probably eliminate United, which was a shame. But otherwise, they blew it against Young Boys, but they were already through. And if there's anything we know about Allegri, it's that he's not going to get his team to waste any energy once their objective's already sealed. It's the same as when they're 2-0 up after 20 minutes against Lazio. You know that the next 70 minutes are completely pointless because Juve are barely going to go over the halfway line. And that's what we saw in the Champions League. They blew it against United, so they went and beat Valencia. And then they just didn't really try against Young Boys. It was like watching an Italy friendly or the second half of a... They like the way that Man City will probably play against Burton Albion in the second leg of their cup semi-final when they're 9-0 up. It doesn't really matter. I think they've been very good. They were excellent against Valencia to win with 10 men after Ronaldo got sent off. Then they took care of business against Young Boys away. They were superb at Old Trafford in that win. And I think for probably 85, 86, 87 minutes in Turin against United, they were excellent too. They just left the door open and United managed to sneak two goals because there are some very good players in that team, and Juve's cautious nature kind of got the better of them there. And then again, they went and beat Valencia straight away after that. So they've just done enough, haven't they? I think they've shown in those two games against United that they've got an extra gear to go to. And probably a gear beyond what we saw in those two games as well. Looking at the way that they've played in some Serie A matches, like you say, against Napoli, they can raise the game even further. And I think that can only bode well for the games to come. I think that the lack of the midfielder that I mentioned before is probably going to be shown up even more so against a team like Atletico Madrid, who, just like Juve, are going to be happy to sit in and defend. But I think ultimately, if you're talking about wanting to win the competition, you can't really be scared of Manchester United or Atletico Madrid in this season. You're already looking beyond them almost, aren't you?
Well, I think you certainly are. So looking at the kind of the season going forward then, obviously the two ties against Atletico Madrid, like that's, I honestly think that would be quite difficult, just the way that Atletico play and the style that Simeone has and the attitude. I think it'll be quite a bit different to playing a lot of the bigger teams in Europe, and I think that could be a bit dangerous if Juve can have this kind of, I wouldn't call it a lack of concentration. Allegri always moans about it being kind of they just kind of think, yeah, it'll be fine, don't worry about it, we'll win. And I think if they kind of go in with that attitude, I think it'll be problematic, to say the least.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think again it comes back to Ronaldo, doesn't it? He scored one goal in the
that's what you said when we did the preview. You're like, it doesn't matter, yeah, for Ronaldo.
But that's kind of where we are, isn't it? Like, Juve have played Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid already twice in the group stage with Allegri. And they lost 1-0 and drew 0-0. So conceding goals is never really going to be a problem against that team. The problem is scoring goals. And yes, those two games Juve didn't score. Ronaldo scored 12 goals in 11 matches against Atletico Madrid in his career. And that's why you buy him, isn't it? To score goals in those games. And because that's what he can do. And I think the fact that he's brought the best out of Mandzukic as well, I think that really helps. I think the main problem now for Juve is between now and the end of February, Allegri's got to figure out who the best player is for that third spot in attack, because I don't see that Juve are going to go out and spend whatever it would take to sign a midfielder who's going to make the difference. So the difference has to come from that third attacker, doesn't it? I think Dybala's been really a non-factor so far this season.
Do you think that's because of Ronaldo? Or?
I think it's because of the way that the team is set up. He's the one in midfield who's having to drop deep. He's the one. Ronaldo wants to play either on the left or through the middle. So him and Mandzukic swap roles back and forth throughout the match, depending on where Ronaldo wants to play. So, which means then Dybala's pushed out on the right wing, which for all his talent, he's not a right winger. He's a second striker, isn't he? He wants to play just off the shoulder of one striker, and he's not going to get to do that because what's happening between Ronaldo and Mandzukic is too good to change it just to accommodate Dybala.
Yeah.
So he needs to adapt to that, and I think he's shown in the 4 months that the season's been going so far that he can't do that, that he's not ideal for that role. I think the team's looked better when Bernardeschi's played there from the start. I think the team looks better in the last 15, 20 minutes when Douglas Costa comes on fresh to stretch defences. And I think, to be honest, Bernardeschi's probably the answer because he's much more comfortable dropping back to be an extra body in midfield and to bring the ball forwards. I think he's much more comfortable at cutting in and then giving the ball out wide to Cancelo because he's used to playing in that role on the right when he's left-footed. I think I would never say that Bernardeschi is a better player than Dybala, but I think he's a better fit in this Juventus and certainly with Mandzukic and Ronaldo. And I think if you do that, then you've probably got the option of playing Dybala with either Mandzukic or Ronaldo in a two in Serie A, and that'll probably be better for Dybala as well. So I think Allegri's got probably, what is it, 8 or 9 games between now and the first game against Atletico Madrid. And I think we'll probably see quite a few different makeups of that front three, whether it's playing Dybala behind Mandzukic and Ronaldo or as I say, rotating in a Bernardeschi or Douglas Costa. And I think ultimately solving that is going to determine how well Juve's season goes between now and the end, because it is too easy for, especially a team as well-drilled as Atletico Madrid, it is too easy for them to suck Dybala into midfield and then just kick lumps out of him. And he's not good at that. And he's never going to survive doing that. And that's why people talking about selling him or swapping him for somebody else or moving on from him in a different way. I think that's probably the wrong answer. I think the right answer is to keep hold of him because in the long term, he is a very good player and a huge talent, but right now, for the way that the team is, I don't think he's the right man to be playing in attack.
Well, options as well. Like you say, like it gives Allegri options to play two, play on behind two as well. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, there's tons of options. And I think the problem is he can probably play any combination of that in Serie A and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
The problem is when it comes to Champions League, finding the balance and finding the right blend. Because when they play Bologna in the Cup, he's talking about playing Moises Keane, and that just says it all, really, doesn't it? Like, he's going to play a kid who's played probably 10 games in Serie A in his life.
I think he's only played, I think it was 16 minutes he's played for Juve this season, and that was in, I think it was in the second half against Young Boys in the Champions League.
Yeah, it was a dead game already, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3, there were 3-0 up, and he came on for a little bit. I was like, oh, that's a surprise. All right, let's kind of, finishing on some transfer thing then, because it's the transfer window and we all love that. Aaron Ramsey, you were mourning about a midfielder and how Juve need one. Is he the answer for next season?
I think he's an answer. I think he's at least got that speed that will make a difference, that he's happy to make a quick pass, he's happy to run forward and get in the box, he scores some goals. I don't think he's the answer. Ultimately, if Arsenal are letting him go and nobody else is really making a big push to sign him, either other than Juve, that kind of says it all. It's not like a Real Madrid or Bayern Munich are banging on the door to sign Aaron Ramsey. You know, I think ultimately it's going to be somebody else who becomes the answer. I think at least it shows that they are looking to do something different. I think it's too easy to pick up a Khedira or a Blaise Matuidi, isn't it? Like pushing over 30, their contracts run out, they want to get one last big payday. At least it's something different, and at least it shows that Paratici is willing to kind of move the goalposts and try something, because you look at the team and that's what it needs, isn't it? And if they can't afford to make a big financial outlay to get a Milinkovic-Savic or Pogba, then you are restricted in what you can do in that market. And maybe for a short time he can be an answer.
But you'd still expect someday, bigger name to come in the summer, probably.
Yeah, because I think you look at Juve, the way that they work, the way that they plan everything out, the way that everything's thought through and done to such meticulous detail. I think you don't go and sign Ronaldo for 112 million and then think, right, that's it, that'll do.
Sorted for 4 years, don't need to worry about anything.
You know, you basically, yes, obviously you've got the best-selling shirt in France, you've got a million extra followers on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. But the ultimate aim of signing Ronaldo is surely to win the Champions League, isn't it? It's been 23 years. And by himself, he's not going to do that. And the fact that he's there, the new Adidas deal generates massive more revenue. So Juve is still going to be able to spend money in the transfer market come the summer. And you look at the team and what else does it need? You know, we already ran through the options in attack with Mandzukic, Dybala, Bernardeschi, Costa, Moises Keane, if you want. In midfield, they've already got countless options for the other two players with Pjanic, Matuidi, Chan, Sami Khedira's corpse. In defence, Benatia, Bonucci, Chiellini, Cancelo, Di Ciglio, Alexandro. They've even got two top-notch goalkeepers in Perrin and Szczesny, so they don't actually need to sign anything other than one midfielder. And if you look at what Juve have spent over the last few years, even with taking into account Ronaldo's wages are going to affect the budget, they have to be able to afford to go and sign Milinkovic-Savic, because he's not going to take a massive wage, is he? He's going to be on a low salary at Lazio, and he's going to take something in line with what the club are paying most players, which is about 4 million a year. So it's not a huge sacrifice other than the transfer fee. And yes, Lotito is a pain to deal with, just like he's a pain to deal with his club, but in general. But it's the kind of deal you just have to go get done, isn't it? So I would expect, Ramsey, it's nice, it's a free transfer, but Juve are going to still spend money in the summer, and that one area is the one where that's got to come, because the rest of the squad is set.
Yeah, if Jose Mourinho was still at charge at Man United, you'd have Pog back. There you go. But
yeah, who knows? Maybe we can get Fellaini instead.
There you go. Try to think, is there anything else? I mean, the only kind of other transfer news really has been players leaving. Rugani's been linked with a move away. Benassia's been linked with a move away. Spinazzola, Keane as well. I can't imagine you'll be crying into your pillow at the thought of any of those guys.
No, I think in every case, really, Benatia or Rugani moving wouldn't surprise me, because I think there isn't enough playing time to keep both happy. But if you sell one, you can probably keep the other one happy enough, because the only other option is Barzagli. So you can rotate the three, can't you? Whether if you keep Benatia, you can rotate Bonucci, Chiellini, Benatia, and bring Barzagli on for the last 5 minutes of a game somewhere, and he'll be more than happy with that. Mm. I think Spinazzola is the same. I think with Cancelo and Dichilio being able to play both sides, and Spinazzola being sidelined so long with this injury, I think loaning him out for some experience somewhere, I think I've seen Bologna discussed as a potential place for him, and I think that would be really good to go and get 15 or 16 games as a first choice left back would be, for somebody that plays a back four as well, because he played as a wing back, because Atalanta play with a three, I think that'd do him the world of good. Because you see, at Milan, we've seen them having to waste substitutions to get Andrea Conte into a game when they need results, and that would be the worst, wouldn't it? If Juve need a result, but then they need to bring on Spinazzola, I think loaning him out is probably, and bringing in somebody else who can cover at fullback, obviously, would be a good move. And Moises Keane the same. We've already twice gone through the options in attack, but Moises Keane's going to find playing time hard to get. So maybe after he scores a hat-trick against Bologna in the cup, he can go and play for them for the rest of the season.
Oh,
he
can go to Chievo and keep them up. He can go and do the great escape.
Doesn't he? He was at Hellas last year. He could become a Chievo cult hero by scoring goals instead of Sergio Pellissier, who's probably older than Sami Khedira.
Yes, he's getting on a bit. He's getting married, so it's all right. He's finally. Well, he's stopping being a kid.
He's about the right age for an Italian player getting married, isn't he? Pellissier, I mean, not Moises Keane.
Yeah, there you go.
But none of those transfers are going to make any difference whatsoever, are they, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, they're just kind of squad players and stuff. Right, last thing. How many points will Juventus win Serie A by? They're 9 points clear right now. Halfway stage, 9 points.
I'm going to say about 9 points, because I think it's because Allegri, because it's like being 2-0 up, isn't it? We're 9 points clear. It's okay. If we lose to Napoli, it's fine. They'll lose next week. I can fully see it because of rotating for the last stage of the Champions League, because that will become the focus, because probably even resting players to play in the Coppa Italia when that gets to the latter stages. I think the gap will probably stay about 9 or 10. No, I wouldn't be surprised if it jumped out to 16 or 17 because the clubs behind drop a few more points. But I think they're going to push hard to stay close. I think they're going to benefit hugely from the fact that Napoli, who are second, have a massive gap to third already, because that'll probably see them ease up a little bit and maybe concentrate on the Coppa Italia themselves just to get a trophy, or Europa League as well. And I think that's going to become the aim now, isn't it? I think you look at the league table and it's 9 points back to Napoli, who were then 5 or 6 clear of Inter, who were then, is it 8 or 9 points clear of Milan?
Seven clear of Lazio.
Yeah.
Eight of Milan.
The battle's going to come between the teams chasing for fourth, and that's really it, isn't it?
Hashtag boring Serie A.
Yeah, celebrate getting through against Atletico Madrid by collecting the Serie A trophy is probably going to be March, that second leg. I could see it being done quite easily. It's the gap's not really going to get any. It'll probably shrink at some point because Juve will drop points somewhere and it'll be 6 points. Like, oh, this could be interesting. And then Juve will win 3-0 and somebody else will lose and it'll be back to 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, that's the way it's going to go for the rest of the season. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, up and down, and ultimately end in double figures probably. But I don't see it widening too much, because I don't see Juve putting the foot on the throat of everybody else just to for the sake of it, I think they'll save their energy for the cup competitions now, knowing that they've got Serie A in hand.
Yeah, exactly. Possible treble. And obviously the Champions League is the big one. Allegri gets his teams going around about March time. So, like we say, Juve have been coasting so far, and in a few weeks we'll see just how good the Bianconeri are. Right, Adam, perfect. Thank you very much, everybody. You can follow Adam on the Twitter as @ADZADS77. You can follow him there. The link will be in the article and in the description of the podcast and all that as well. So if you don't already, go and follow Adam. And I'm sure I'll see you very, very soon at some Serie A ground, Mr. Digby.
Yep, no doubt. I'll see you soon. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.